Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fill My Eyes with Poetry. Before we start the show tonight, I wanted to offer out, a heartfelt thoughts and prayers from LNP to the family and friends of Banjo Lynn. She was a great poet here on All Poetry, and I just want to say, she'll be dearly missed. So with that being said, I wanted to make sure I took that opportunity. Also, there is a contest up on the contest page in the spotlight section for anyone who's interested in writing. And so that being said, hello, Rex, and how are you this evening?
All righty. What's doing?
Same old, same old. It's been a crazy kind of day or two. And, but it's okay. It's Friday, right? Fridays are good. I never met a Friday I didn't like, even when I had to work Friday or Saturday. It all worked fine. It looks like we have a good board tonight. I was thinking I should put up the...
Full
of goodies. So I look forward to hearing what is there. And it's always good. We always have wonderful donations to the cause. And... that being said, we have Kate on the line, so I'm going to pick her up. Hello, Kate. How are you tonight?
Hello, my dear.
I'm wonderful, thank you. You've had a busy day. Oh, what a shame. That's horrible.
Well, yes. Yes, it is. But, yeah, I think everybody kind of feels the same way. You know, it's always hard to get news like that. You know, it just works out that way. Unexpected.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
We all... I mean, I did not know Van Zylden personally. I can't say that I ever sat and had a full conversation with her or anything, but I can tell you I respected her poetry. She had wonderful poetry. That's something
mm-hmm.
to for her to be proud of.
Yeah.
Amazing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what was I going to ask you? Oh, how's vacation? You having fun?
Oh, yeah, yeah. During the day is fine. I just kind of shuffle around a little bit, sit down. I can't walk very far. But lovely
right.
meals, lovely food. I'm in Dundee at the moment. Is it Dundee or is it Peebles? Barony Castle, anyway. It's the one we use a lot. It's lovely. So, yes, I'm having a nice time. Thank you very much. Eating too much, but loving it.
I think there's enough vacation
any
for this year.
Breeze is blowing up the kilt there?
I'm sorry?
It was Rex. No, the wind is bad enough at the moment. I'm awful glad I'm not wearing a kilt. Blimey.
mm-hmm.
We'll talk about shrunken little things then.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I'm terrible. What did you say, love?
Talk about shrunken little things then.
A lady once asked the piper, what's worn under the kilt? And the paper said, everything's in perfect working order, madam. Yes, I've got one for every occasion, I think, just about.
But an Irishman back. Replied, it's just me lucky charms. Would you like a little?
Oh, dear,
oh,
that's
my
very
God.
Good. I think we've got the whole thing right down to the right level now. Somebody's got to bring it up. Bring it up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know. I always thought the only thing underneath that kilt was the blue ribbon from the day before. But what do I know?
Probably.
Yeah.
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 Well, you know, we're good at beef eating.
Are we? I'll think about that. Really? Okay.
I'm not going there.
No,
I'm not going
there. I'm just blushing
mm-hmm.
here quietly. Thank you very much. Oh, dear. Honestly, I do still blush. It's terrible. My age, you wouldn't think I do, but especially if I say something really stupid, which I've been known to say. Like, for instance, when I smoked, I said to the guy behind the kiosk, is that no, I can't remember. Oh my God, my memory. Forget it. I'll get back to you on that one. It was terrible anyway.
Nothing wrong with that.
Is that one of those funny cigarettes?
God.
Yeah,
maybe,
that was it. I could do that. Oh, I've got it. Is that disposable lighter refillable? That's what it was. And he said,
oh,
no, dear,
brilliant.
It's disposable. No, dear, it's disposable. Oh, dear. So that was typical.
Oh, my goodness. Such a devilish bunch I have here tonight. Yes, I do. So listen, what are we going to do? Are we going to start this show or are we going to flutter around? Because
sure.
I don't mind chatting. Okay.
Well, we do got, I think, 27 on the board, so.
No, do we really? Oh, my God.
I Something do believe
happened.
So.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 20. We're pretty damn close, right? God. We only had 17 when I looked earlier, like, you know, earlier. That's okay, right? It's all good. We're fine.
All right, then.
No bloodline. Okay, I'm going to put the first one up, Rex, and I'm going to ask you to read this one. And this is by Bill Schiller. It's a carryover. We have a fair amount of carryovers, I should say. So whenever you're ready, hon.
As Above, So Below by Bill Shillen. The seahorse tilted from its soup can saddle as confused turtle paddled along its course with filtered cigarette. And there above the deep, a dolphin swam in a quilted fishing net. A captain's eye gleams as he scans scene of sun-streaked horizon. Skin cancer creeps on the back of his reddish, rashed neck. A cruise ship crashes into coral reef, all its creatures tragically set adrift. The tide shifts with muted roars in between its refuting laughter, nuance of now until blowing kiss from hereafter. At present, kaleidoscope of scale critters gorge on more than hooks, and when that captain finished with physician, his bill read like a book. As above, so below. It's been said that's how the universe goes. So too for the ship. So too for the ship, captain, and sea creatures in depths below his boat. Neither gloats in misery for what has yet to be known. None so question value of life while it perceived paradise. Yet those deceived will surely grieve when it's time to pay the price. And poem. All right, Kate, let's start with you, please.
Yes, of course. Well, as usual, from Bill, we have something really deep and exciting and interesting, which I love. He's obviously talking about the fact that we're destroying our planet atom by atom, and the poor sea is really suffering for the kind of things that are getting left and thrown and used. Too much fishing, too many discarded nets, too much rubbish. It's all there, isn't it? Basically, we're all going down the drain. But put so well, you know, that you want to read and listen to it. And some of the lines are absolutely wonderful. At present, kaleidoscope of scaled critters gorge on more than hooks, which is very true. But I think it's a very well written and very interesting poem. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Kay. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I'm kind of intrigued by this, right? You know, it starts out with the seahorses, so I have to assume that they're the below. And the captain is the above. And then all of a sudden I was like, huh? I got myself lost. So that's definitely my thing. But it wasn't intriguing right by Bill. And I thought it was nicely penned. I think that the lines and the thoughts throughout were well done and interesting. And I just need to, like, pull myself together so I know what's above, what's below, and how I missed it. But great job, Bill, and thanks for sharing, as always.
Thank you, team. It's a nice play between the captain and the sea creatures itself, as above, so below. It hits on that, especially with the confused turtle paddle along its course with filtered cigarette. That hits at the captain being the turtle in the boat, so to speak. Yet you walk down below, none so question value of life while in a perceived paradise. Yet those deceived will surely grieve when it's time to pay the price. That double thought of not paying attention because he's got skin cancer creeping up on his neck. He's got the cigarette, so to speak. And the thought of that which we're doing to the oceans is also what we're doing to ourselves, because we're not paying attention to the ease of that which is delivered until it's too late. By that time, you're off to the great beyond, so to speak. Well, nicely done, Bill. I like that play. All right, Jean, we're coming right back to you.
Okay, well, here's the deal. We have two more callers. First off, we have Lee Wilder. Hello, Lee.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Lee.
How are you tonight?
Hello, honey.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Weaver.
Hello, hi, sweetie.
Hi, Rexy.
Hi.
Hi. I decided I wanted to come join the fun.
Oh, cool.
There you go. You are the fun.
Oh, yeah, don't you? Yeah, you may be in for trouble.
Don't worry, Lou. I always brace myself for trouble when you're on the line. I know there's something happening.
It's not me. It's Weaver.
Oh.
She's
double.
I'm leading her astray. That's what I'm doing. We're having fun. We're leading each other astray.
Well, giggle me this and giggle me that. There's a wild dog on the attack.
Oh, instantaneous poetry. I love it.
I love hanging out with you guys.
I don't know who it is, so I'm going to have to find out. So here we go. Hello, 954. Okay. Who's calling?
Hey, I'm Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
Yeah, it's Bridget. This is my first time listening to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Are you a member of Wall Poetry?
No, I just found it tonight on Blog Talk.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, you want to hang out for a while? That's fine by me.
Yeah. Yeah, I run a poetry blog, and I was just curious.
If you want to join and find us, you can go to allpoetry.com. It's free to join. And our group is Late Night Poets.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go. All righty. So, let me see now. Kind of trouble my... Oh, yes. Luyu, did you happen to hear the poem by... would you like to comment?
On Bill? Yeah, I didn't hear it, but I did go look at it. You know, this was just, in some ways to me, a painful, sad poem. You know, we're not only destroying the earth and, you know, up above, but we're also destroying it below. Like, I really liked where he was talking about how, and he explains it perfectly, a seahorse tilted from its soup can saddle. And then the next line, a confused turtle paddled along its course with a filtered cigarette. And then it says, and there above the deep, a dolphin swam and quilted fishing net. You know, just as, you know, and I did hear Rexy's comment, you know, just like we're causing so much devastation to ourselves, to Mother Earth, we're also killing the oceans. And I just thought his metaphors and imagery were fantastic. And there's like critters. He talked about critters and all kinds of fascinating stuff in here.
Right. Good comment. Nice comment, Luya. And
thank you.
Now, Bridget, I don't know. Did you hear the poem? Did you want to comment on it?
I liked it. I felt with the rhythm of it, I was washed away like the captain was under the waves.
Nice.
Excellent comment.
Nice stuff. Absolutely. And let me see. Now I have to abuse Weaver. Her turn in the barrel. Shh, don't tell her. Oh my gosh, so much Weaver.
That's a fishing metaphor, isn't
it? I'm going to put the next one up by A.R. Mundell. So if you would be so kind, Kate, to read this rough, I would appreciate it.
Of course, my dear, no problem at all. Just let me get it up and open. Here we are.
Okay.
She unravels her headdress, pale scales glistening, enlightenment white. It slithers through her conjured hands like moonlit silk, stars fortune rubbing onto fingers which need none. She holds her emblem to her breast as it writhes softly, kissing its head with poetic bestow of message to know. Dragon breath hisses with forked tongue on cloud flesh, caressing fertile fronds flowing into starved soil, birthing spectrum of life from her pure wise, growing to wealth for those who one day exploit them, creeping with the vines to someday find a mind, to dig a well through the aquifer she coaxes like a cat, years and wisdom vast between them, lips to neck. Message conveyed, she lets it go to flow to the heavens. It sheds its scales and steps towards ascension, climbing to the sound of B1 notes beckoning it home. End poem.
Great read there, Kate. Thank you very much. And Lou, why don't we start with you, please?
I thought that Weaver read that beautifully. I really enjoyed this poem by Armandel Benzatine. You know, I was reading her author's notes that she says that this is the Japanese water goddess of fertility and flow of the rivers and wattage, language, poetry, music, dance, and abundant wealth and good fortune. And I really loved how she described her here. This is just beautiful. I like where she wrote, kissing his head with poetic bestow of knowledge to know, dragon breath hisses with forked tongue on cloud's flesh, fawns and flowing into starved soil. You know, it just, how water just nourishes everything and brings it back to life. I thought this was beautiful.
Thank you, Lou. And Bridget, how about you? What did you think?
I really liked it, too. I was getting the goddess aspect and tapping into divine love, like down into the well that we all have within us. And I really felt the connection with that one.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Jean, what about you?
You know, I thought it was really nicely penned piece. I wasn't sure about the water goddess until I looked down in the AN, but I thought it was a wonderful take on the subject, you know, because as you read, when you know what you're reading about, you go back and you can kind of put two and two together and see the correlation between the two, and I thought that was wonderful. I thought there was beautiful imagery, and I thought it was really well expressed. So a nice piece, and thanks for sharing with us, Armando. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jimmy. And Kate, you got to read it. What about you?
I thought it was lovely, mate. I thought it was really, really. It. I want to, again, I love a piece of poetry that reads well, that's easy to read. I never look at these things beforehand. When I see them, it's for the first time. I love the surprise. So maybe sometimes I don't sound too sure, and that's because I haven't read it before. But this is, it was lovely to read. It was smooth, and I love the fact that she has got so many beautiful pieces of imagery in here. Every stanza. I love that she holds her emblem to her breast as it writhes softly, kissing its head with poetic bestow of message to know. That is excellent. And so I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much for sharing.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. Great comments, everybody. Yeah, this is a nice piece conjuring up that sort of the Benzaiten, and it points on the Asian cultures think of the snake and revere it for its fact that with each shedding of the skin, they consider it as a reborn entity that walks within its within new shoes, so to speak. So the idea of ascension means it's ready to hit that next realm, and the thought of walking between worlds, whether it's whether it's on land, the heavens, or within the universe as a whole itself, it's on that idea of wisdom, learning, spreading its virtue across the world, so to speak. So nicely done, AR. Thank you very much.
Nice.
All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay, well, to start us off, I'd like to welcome Gray Eyes to the show. Hey, Gray, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
If I was any better, Gray, I'd be twins. And thanks. I haven't had the opportunity.
Hey,
Gray.
Hello.
What was that? Double the flavor, double the fun. Double mint.
Double mint twins.
Absolutely. That would be a scary thing to have two of me floating around. I can promise you that. Gray, did you happen to hear the poem by A.R. Mundell?
I did. I just caught the end of it, though. It was beautifully read, Weaver. And the poem is a fascinating retelling of a Japanese tale of the serpent and its role in the Japanese lore. So I thought it was just brilliantly presented.
Nice comment, Gray. Okay, now, Phil, that means it's back to you. Okay, Phil, no problem. Here we go. I'm going to put this next piece up by Dashpat, and I'm going to give it a read. It's called Dopamine. It was as if my life bulb glowed green. My bitch kicked back. I thought I could sing. I stopped sleeping and eating. Cachectic heart barely beating. I rode the hard rock bucking mechanical bull's back. An exaggerated sexless bacchanalian act. A doorbell rang. More my Pavlovian thing. With drools filled with shopping boxes. I became a poetess who understood losses and began to dream again. Dopaminergic nightmares, a drug shortages and strife, Parkinson's without dopamine, frozen in life. Like Pompeian statues buried alive as an unearthly rigor mortis set in. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Grace, since you're the last one in the door, we're going to start with you.
A beautiful job reading the poem, Phil. But, you know, the poem is it's powerful and it's gripping and it's engaging. I wrote the hard rock bucking mechanical bull's back, an exaggerated sexless Buckingham act, a doorbell, more my Pavlovian thing, with drool-filled chopping boxes. I become a poetess who understands losses and begin to dream again. Yeah, just a haunting poem. Powerful imagery as well.
Thank you, Graham. And Kate, what about you?
Very powerful, isn't it? This is, a great share. I think, you know, I don't ever presume that the person that's writing this is the person that's being wrote about. So I don't, you know, I don't make that assumption. But it sounds to me as if that is a terrible way to be, to have something to make you level for the day. You drop down, you go up, you go down, and there's something to take you up and something to take you down. So it can't be an easy way to live, but thousands of people do, because that's the horror of the life we're leading. The stress is there, always. The stress is always with everybody, but some people handle it differently. Some people don't notice it as much as other people do. They accept it and can live with it. You know, so we all have different ways of getting through the day. And I thought this was a beautiful piece of poetry. So thank you for sharing with us, Dashbat.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Kate. All right, Liu, what about you?
You know, I thought Phil did a great job in reading this, and I really enjoyed this poem by Dashbat. You know, she's saying that this is written for Parkinson's disease. You know, all of us go through different things in our life, and many times we have to take drugs and medication that we don't want, but it's the only thing to push back the ailments that we're suffering through. And there's something about poetry, the arts, that there is a place that you can release everything you're thinking, your pain, your joys, your happiness, and the issues that we're going through. And, you know, right here where she talked about Parkinson's without dopamine, frozen in life, like Pomeran, I'm tongue-twisting today, Pompeii statues buried alive as an earthly rigor mortis sets in. You know, just this is just something that this disease causes. And I'm glad that she has poetry to release whatever she's feeling and thinking.
Nice. Thank you very much, Lou. And Bridget, how about you?
I really felt that poem because I rely on medication too, and it is scary in a way, and that you feel constricted, like at the end when the rigor mortis set in. Like that powerful line, it's just like you feel like you're stuck in a cycle.
Oh, okay. Nice. Thank you very much, Bridget.
Yeah.
And Jean, how about you?
You know, Parkinson's is such a frustrating and a difficult disease for the person who has it, mm-hmm. that any medicine can help the side effects. It's a medicine greatly appreciated by those afflicted. Anything to get around some of those symptoms. I mean, I've worked with many people that had Parkinson's. There's so many different symptoms and effects from that disease. That it anything that works, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, they say that marijuana, medical marijuana, helps with the the tremor
symptoms.
And there's so, it just soothes them. And that's a wonderful thing. And dopamine, if that helps with others, so be it, you know. And I think that it was really well stated by Dashpat. So I want to thank Dashpat for sharing with us. And, well done.
Thank you, everyone. I like this opening. It was as if my light bulb glowed green. My bitch kicked back. I thought I could sing. I stopped sleeping and eating. The shifted heartbeat barely beating. I heard the hard rock bucking. Mechanical bulls bath. Lovely opening, but it just hit on that notion of what comes with it. The thought, when you start getting in the symptoms of Parkinson, your dopamine levels go down, and that's where part of this is walking into, like this an exaggerated sex with back in the doorbell ring, more my Pavlovian thing with jewel filled shopping boxes. And then the back end thought of becoming poet just wanted to understands the value of expression by putting this out so other people can understand, as well as point to others that, hey, you can still do some things when the mood and when everything sits right with yourself. So you don't give up on life itself, but the thought in the back end of Parkinson's without dopamine in life holds on to that sort of some things you can't do anything about in the moment, but you still live for those moments when everything just sits fine, and you want that dopamine because it breathes such life into you. Nicely done, Dashpat. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Janine, we're back on you.
Okay, Lou, that's going to bring me to you with this piece by Naomi.
I would be happy to read for Naomi. She's fabulous. And this is titled "When the Salt Truck" by Naomi Sarah. When the salt trucks dump Main Street into its gutters, I will no longer have reason to stay there in the doorway where no one kisses anymore. To all my hollowed out hopes, to my remnants of old centuries, I leave my keys. I hang my skates on the edge of the ramp and let them be taken. The sun rises to no end. In the distance, I stare into the dance of falling snowflakes, catch one on my tongue, only to feel it die. The stretch of sky has faded to a dirty white. The buildings look like disco balls dressed in dated sequin dresses. I try to redraw the landscape, my tired face, condemned by the day. Twist my lips into a smile to tear out its light, to make fake jewels out of it, to decorate my world.
Great read, Lou. Thank you very much. And Bridget, why don't we start with you, please?
Could you read the last two lines again?
Yeah, it says, I'll read the last stanza. I try to redraw the landscape. My tired face, condemned by the day, twists my lips into a smile to tear out its light, to make fake jewels out of it, to decorate my world.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a good ending. I'm glad I had to reread it because I didn't quite understand it before. Yeah, I was really pointed in the direction of the pain that she was experiencing, and then how it is transformed, like you transform it into something beautiful with the jewels.
I like that. Thank you, Bridget. And
yeah.
Kate, how about you?
Well, another beautiful piece of writing. Very enjoyable, Naomi. She is a wordsmith. She really is. I love the way... These are all words we've heard before, but I love the way she puts them together. It's just so cute. That is so I mean, you get, I will no longer have reason to stay there in the doorway where no one kisses anymore. Oh, it's so sad. Yes, sorry. Yes, I thought this was really lovely. The fact that the snowflakes were dancing and she caught one on her tongue only to feel it die. You've got a sadness there. That's really, you know, she looks at what is faded and dirty and white, and the snow never stays white for very long. But then she sees it again through different eyes when the lights are on, and it makes it look so much more alive. And I thought that was lovely. So she did a great job. Thank you, Naomi.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. And Gray, how about you?
I thought it was deeply personal, right? You know, trying to find a smile that you can turn into jewels to decorate your world is a haunting concept. But, you know, I mean, the world seems so bleak around her in the beginning, you know, where she says, when the salt tracks dump Main Street into its gutters, I will no longer have a reason to stay here in the doorway where no one kisses anymore. And, I mean, you know, you can picture that. You can picture the absence of these people kissing on their doorsteps. And then to all my hollowed out hopes, to my remnants, old centuries, I leave my keys. I hang my skates on the edge of the ramp to let them be taken. You know, when you're just giving up and leaving it all behind, that invokes quite a powerful feeling of separation and loss. You know, and then I try to redraw the landscape on my tired face, condemned by the day, twist my lips into a smile, to tear out its light, to make eight jewels out of it, to decorate my world. Yeah, that's just powerful, powerful poetry there.
Great comment there, Gray. Thank you very much. And Luyu, how about you?
You know, I really like this poem by Naomi. It really makes me think. You know, sometimes we live in a place or we get in a situation that we didn't mean to get into. And, you know, and when you look at what you're surrounded by, you know, just, you know, you remember home, which it just reminded me of, you know, I hang my skate and, you know, the remnants of my old century. Sometimes we feel so old when we look at how fast the world is moving and that we feel like our hopes are dying or they're being lost. And, you know, that simple imagery of, you know, catching the snowflake on the tongue only to feel it die, where you just feel like there's no more hope. And that, you know, things are not going the way you meant them to go. And, you know, we just look at the world now. With, you know, I really liked how she talked about how those glass buildings that we see now that glare, you know, that look like disco balls. I thought that was fantastic because the way the light moves, it does glint like a disco ball in sequin dresses. And you know, the landscape, you know, it's being destroyed. And, you know, here we are stuck in the city when we would like to be out in the wilderness or nature somewhere. At least that's what it meant to me.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lou. All right, Jean, what about you?
Well, you know, I saw in the beginning of this where, you know, the salt truck has dumped Main Street into its gutters. You know, they're scraping up the snow and getting rid of the drifts and, you know, all the beautiful white snow in my head, you know. But then it goes into the hollowed out hopes, you know, to my remnants of old centuries. I leave my keys, I hang my skates, you know, and let them to be taken. I mean, that's kind of a sad kind of a thing there to me. It's like, you know, you're giving up, you're bringing it to an end. But I said, I think, and I think I've heard this from pretty much everybody, you know, the ending of this, you know, it starts here. The stretch of sky has faded to a dirty white. The buildings look like disco balls, you know. But it's on the upswing again because it's sequin dresses. But I have to say I really loved the ending stanza here, you know, redrawing the landscape, you know, to make create, and then it goes on, you know, that. To make fake jewels out of it to decorate my world. So she brought it full circle, and I think she did that very well. So nice work, Naomi, and thank you for sharing with us. And I am sorry, I did forget you had an audio for this. My bad.
Great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. There is this. You're right, this is sad, and it's deeply melancholic, right to the bone, so to speak. I think that the salt trucks that dump on Main Street who has got us, I thought of nothing but the endless tears that are being shed in the moment, because she refers to that, no reason to stay there in the doorway where no one kisses anymore, the idea of ultimate loss. And then again, to all my hollowed out hopes, to my remnant soul century, again, heavy on the loss. And again, the sun rises to no end, more loss. The stretched sky is faded to a dirty white. Again, the pristine of life has been taken. And the back end of this, trying to paint a happy face on it, just doesn't seem to walk a fair note, considering how she feels and how she's expressing. So nicely done, Naomi. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okay, and Gray, that's going to bring me to you. So let me put that up. And this is by Jack Tucker.
Okay, this is called Poetry is Bread. Poetry is bread, for the self pens the poet. Then poetry is also warm, buttery muffins, flaky chocolate croissants, crusty bagels, biscuits with honey, buttermilk cornbread, rye with caraway, pumpernickel in swirls, sourdough tart and tangy, egg nuts, brutal, pierogi, ravioli. That's wheat, a real poet chews. End poem.
Great read, Gray. Thank you very much. I heard you giggling, Lou, so we got to start with you.
Because every stanza he went through, I started getting hungry. You know, you know, Gray, you did a great job. Yeah, chocolate croissant. You know, poetry is bread. It is just nourishing. It's fantastic to read other people's work. I liked how he brought this out, especially that second stanza. Then poetry is also warm, buttery muffins and flaky chocolate croissant. I mean, it is that way. It can be so delicious, especially on Wednesday when we do sensual poetry. So that's where it took me. And Frank is always talking about chocolate croissant. So now I'm hungry. But yes, this is a fantastic poem. It is delicious.
Thank you, Lou. And Bridget, how about you?
I liked it too. It reminded me about how comforting it is to write poetry and how comforting it is to eat all those grains. I was like, ooh, biting into a biscuit and typing on the keyboard really are comparable.
Absolutely.
So true.
Thank you. Kate, how about you?
Sorry, I was mutating. I do apologize. I actually read this poem on a show very recently. I can't remember when. Yeah, so
mine.
Could have been. So I'll just say, refer to my latest my later comments. Refer to them. Hope I don't say the wrong thing this time. I thought it was really lovely because it's so satisfying to eat. I can remember the taste of bread. Unfortunately, I'm allergic to wheat, so it's a real bummer. Especially when you go to France, you can't eat the beautiful red bread. Oh man! But I can still remember how it felt to eat. Oh my goodness me! Yes, beautiful. I think it's one of the best things in the world. Anything made with wheat, made with flour, is just so comforting and you can do so much with it. At the moment, I can't do anything with it. But yes, I thought that was a beautiful write, and it was really well done and very clever. That last stanza, that's wheat, a real poet chews. That's perfect. So thank you for sharing that with us, Jack.
Thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I'm kind of like looking at it like Lou did. I mean, you know, poetry is nourishing to the soul. And the same as bread is nourishing to the body. And I think that this was a great job by Jack here. Wonderful, wonderful poem pen. So thank you, Jack, for sharing this one with us.
Thank you, Gene. And Greg, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, I like it. You know, I like the correlation between poetry and bread and, you know, all the baked goods and pierogies and ravioli. You know, and then I really like the way he finished it with, "That's wheat, a real poet who's," you know. Yeah, it was a tasty, tasty poem.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everyone. I like this for the pure extended metaphor offered, but also the thought of actually indulging. You find a fresh bread shop or a bakery or a bagel shop with bagel fresh out of the ovens in a bagel factory is wonderful, just like fresh croissants. Excellent. And if you find you make cornbread or biscuits at home, wonderful again too. But it also offers a flavor, which hits on the metaphor angle as well. The sort of rival caroling, pumpernickel and swirls, sourdough, tart and tangy. Then the offering of beignets, strudel, pierogies, and ravioli. The idea being that no matter what he's playing, whether he's actually baking or just playing on the angle of the thought itself, there's comfort in both the angles played. So nicely done, Jack. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, back to you.
Okay, Rex, and I'm going to take it back to you. I have a piece here by C. Francis Higgins. So if you'd be so kind.
All right. The Tavern Daughter's Song by C. Francis Higgins. The first low note confession in busy, distorted taverns and rolling scene rendering is sparse in her heart's wandering. That wine-black girl gathered, royal in scarlet confidence and smooth as radiant sandstone in the mind of every patron. How can this song remain unheard if it leaps from every shattered lip and wraps me in somber intoxication, dumb to a thrashing chorus? Sing the cups full and laugh lanterns to light while plunging dresses chase away all tragedies. For only one thing moves to misery, and that is an exhausted heart willingly blind to everything beyond these walls. Sing the hearth down cold and empty the larders where the tavern girl works her magic in a dying candlelight. And boom. And great. Why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that, Rex. But, you know, I like it. I like the storyline, especially the first two stanzas. The first low note confession in her busy, distorted taverns and rolling scenes rendered is sparse in her heart's wandering. That wine-black girl gathered royal in scarlet confidence and smooth as radiant sandstone in the mind of every patron. I mean, there's a talent that, you know, is held by servers that, you know, it definitely can shine through, especially in a busy, dark, dimly lit place. You know, you wonder how they can move around with those trays full of drinks and not... do it with grace and with style. So kudos to the Tavern's Daughter. Excellent, right? Great read.
Thank you, Gray. And Lou, how about you?
Well, this poem kind of, I started hearing Brandy, "You're a Fine Girl." You know, how she worked in the tavern waiting for her sailor to come back. You know, sometimes taverns are a dark, safe place where, for me, nobody bugs you or harasses you. And, you know, there's movement and you're looking around that allows you thoughts to just spill. And, you know, I just loved all his imagery in here, you know, how they're serving the crowds. I like the wine black girl gathered royal in scarlet confidence and smooth as radiant sandstone in the mind of every patron. You know, it just reminded me when I was in Germany and at the fest, and the girls would just come by, you know, and, you know, to me, they were beautiful. They were serving everybody the happiness. And, you know, of course you're happy when you're drinking and everybody's singing, and he caught it right there. That's what reminded me, singing the cup full, which reminded me of two things, raw cup and cup of liquor, cups of liquor, and the last lantern's delight, the plunging dresses, chase all the way of the tragedy. So sometimes you just need to go somewhere to forget about all your troubles and woes. I enjoyed this poem, and it was fabulously read by you, Rexy.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lou. And Bridget, how about you? Did we lose Bridget?
No.
Sorry, I was on mute. Stop.
Oh, okay. No problem.
No, it reminded me of the charisma that servers have and that they have to carry with them in order to do their jobs well. They do play with their heartstrings. It's nice.
Excellent. Thank you, Bridget. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes. I don't think I could ever do that kind of job because it needs a good memory. The way you're supposed to be going, it needs strength, it needs fluidity. I mean, yes, that's a hard job, and you're on your feet all the time. But she has made this, in this piece of poetry, she's made it poetry. She's given us the feelings, the colours, what's going on around, how it's a dive, or it's not a dive, but they're all the same. You're serving people, and you're trying to make them happy. And take their money, of course, which is the best way to go. But I thought that it was beautifully written. And again, that last stanza is always the one that brings it all together for me. You usually sing the heart down cold and empty the larders where the tavern girl works her magic in a dying candlelight. Yes, I thought it was very well written. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought this was another great piece by Colin. I thought the imagery was wonderful, and you could see the scene play out in your mind, as if you were watching a movie. I mean, it's a familiar scene. I have to say, he had great stanzas throughout, and I did love the way he ended this up with the "Sing the hearth down cold and empty the larders where the tavern girl works her magic in a dying candlelight." At the end of the night, things are unwinding, I thought that was nice because as well as he opened it up into the imagery that playing out in my mind, he brought it to life in the beginning, and then he wound it down in the candlelight at the end. So I thought it came full circle. So I thought that was a great way to tie it up. So well done, Colin, and thanks for sharing. And just before I let myself shut up, I want to tell you that we have Frank on the line. Hello, Frank. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
Yay,
hello.
Frank.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hello, Francisco.
Hello there.
Hi, Frank.
I was in the corner just listening here to the conversations. yes. this took me down memory lane. We have Spanish taverns much like this, and they are, the typical scene there, we would say that actually the typical nights are much like this, a lot of, with waiters and that and bartenders, working there at the pubs there. They really have to give their all there, so this personifies really or epitomizes their struggle, and I'm very much for this type of poetry as well, because it does reflect a part of our society that at times we don't realize or we don't really pay attention too much.
Excellent. Thank you, Frank. Great comments, everybody. I think it's those last two stanzas which hit home for me, because this does speak of going back 100 years or more when life was a little simpler. You went to the taverns. It's where you met your friends, where you chatted about the day. It's where you offloaded problems. It's where you went to ease yourself. And the last two stanzas kind of hit on that. Only one thing moves to misery, and that is an exhausted heart willingly blind to everything beyond these walls. So you can't live yourself inside. You go there as an escape, so to speak, because of the daily grind or anything else.
Exactly.
But the idea is that you treat the one who's making that life joyous, and she'd be the one
yes.
who's toting around the tankards and the one who works to that dying candle life at the end of the evening. So nicely done there, Colin. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, we're back to you.
Okay, Kate, that's going to bring me back to you, and this is a piece by Kiku. So if you would be so kind, I would appreciate it.
Of course, Diane, no problem at all. Just going to get that open. The Blue Hour. Oh, lovely. Okay. 3 billion times it calls. Within the cage of bruised bones, at the bluest hour, light will waltz with the twirl of ebon thicket bloom. The wings of the white ibis, we spin towards the east and dip our pens where the sun rises. Archival paper moons, gypsum starry eyes, the celestial trinity paints our world with dawn across the page of oceans. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Frank, you're the last one in the door. Let me start with you.
In the visualization of what imagery is, I like the notion there of the page of oceans. There is such a little to cadence to his poem as well that was read nicely by or magnificently there by Weaver. I like it 3 billion times it calls. We think about the ocean, so much of what lurks in the ocean or what dwells in the ocean. Sometimes our inspirations are the oceans or the ocean itself. And I like the whole ocean here, what is personified in this poem here. And, the coat of bruised bones, that's very strong. The imagery is very strong. But in the end, it ends with a graceful type of ending, the celestial trinity, paint her world with dawn across the page of oceans. That's really pretty beautiful.
Excellent. Thank you, Frank. And Lou, how about you?
I just thought this was absolutely beautiful. It's actually striking. I really loved the imagery here where she talks about light will waltz with the twirl of an ebon thicket bloom. The wings of the white ibis we spin towards the east and dip our pens where the sun rises. I mean, that is just absolutely breathtaking. The colors in here, the watery oceans, of time, it paints our world. Poetry paints our world. Painting paints our world. Music paints our world. And, this is the place where we reside and we bloom, where, where our bruised bones can find a place of healing. Lovely, lovely. Lovely reweaver.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lou. And Kate, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I just, there was a stillness in it, which is a great gift, where you can read something and it allows you to slip into it and have it all around you, listening, looking. I just thought it was very, very well done, and I really enjoyed it, and thank you so much for sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kate. Gray, what about you?
I like it. We live, we love, we die, all the while searching for happiness and contentment and personal fulfillment. It's that need is with us till the end, and I thought she captured that beautifully, as well as the prompt.
Excellent. And Bridget, what did you think?
Got in
here, Bridget. She fits in really well around here. She's on mute like the rest.
Yeah, she does, because all of us do that.
We all do it.
Welcome to the cloud, Bridget.
I'm just drinking tea, and I clatter the cup sometimes.
But no, I thought it was such a beautiful poem. The ibis is a delicate bird, and to have it moved into the infinity of the sky and the ocean, we're all just so small, and we're all in infinity, and it's a good reflection of that.
Excellent. Thank you. And Jean, your turn.
I thought it was beautifully penned. I thought the imagery in it was just lovely. Wonderful lines throughout, but I play three lines the best. The celestial trinity paints our world with dawn across the page of oceans. I thought that was just a lovely way to end it, and I really liked it. So nice work, Kiku, and thank you so much for sharing. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, those opening three lines kind of send a nice tone. 3 billion times it calls within the cage of bruised bones at the bluest hour. That the note to a lifetime of heartbeat, so to speak, and the thought of the wings of the white ibis. There's a new blooming with the dawn, and the thought of dipping our pens is the hope that comes with each new dawn, and the thought of looking for happiness as the happiness is looking for you. So it speaks of hope. And thank you very much, Kiku.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okay, now that's going to bring me back to Lu Yu. So, Miss Lu Yu, I'd like to get you to read this piece,
mm-hmm.
A Darkened Arc. I would appreciate it.
Okay. It would be my pleasure. Traumatized Coupling by Darkened Arias. I apologize that she despised my twisted lies, trying to disguise tears in my eyes, my nightly cries, until I realize I am so small in size. I'm just a prize facing demise as you rise and raise me to the skies. Do you recognize what you fertilize? My mind flies as my body dies. I tried to advise, it was not wise. I was chastened by you, then compromised. Your gambling, rolling snake eyes, now that I'm starting to advertise, woke this morning at sunrise to find you there with a surprise. You want me to exercise and energize, starting to think you emphasize, hypnotized to believe I wasn't traumatized. As I start to vocalize, you make sure I'm tranquilized, awake to see we now share ties. A baby, you and me, miniaturized in poem.
Great read there, Lou. Thank you very much. And Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
Beautiful read, Lou. And I like the poem, you know, it's pretty heart-wrenching in the way that, you know, this relationship's going. You know, you're gambling, rolling snake eyes, now that I'm starting to advertise. Woke this morning at sunrise to find you there. It was a surprise. You want me to exercise and energize, start thinking, you emphasize, hypnotized to believe I wasn't traumatized. And then, you know, into the next stanza, as I start to vocalize, you make sure I'm tranquilized. Awake to see now, fair ties, a baby, you and me, miniaturized. I mean, it's a powerful statement on the subject of a relationship and where it's at. Very haunting.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It was very deep and very sad. I love the rhyming. I thought that was beautifully executed. I'm reading again. Sorry. I thought it was just, it's got so much in it. Waking up to find that, you know, things are a bit better, they're getting better. But still, there is a need to tranquilize, because the pain, obviously, has been terrible. And so you wonder, is this person handing out these tablets to keep this lady calm and flat and unfeeling, because it's easier for him. That's kind of how it came across to me. You know, just take the pills, dear. You'll feel better. Which is, you know, which does happen. I know it does happen. Because other people's pain can be very hard to either understand or take. Because we can't, a lot of people can't empathize. They find it impossible to understand if it's not a broken limb with a plaster on it and they can't actually see the injury or the pain. It doesn't come across. You don't look as if you're in pain. So you don't get the sympathy or the care that you should get. So it's very difficult. I thought this was beautifully written. And obviously I'm taking out of it what I saw in it, but I thought it was just a lovely work. So thank you very much, Dark and Dora, as usual. Wonderful.
Thank you, Kate. And Frank, how about you?
I'm gonna agree with what I believe it's Gray. You know, Gray, who said, turbulence here about a relationship here. You know, I notice that this is based on fiction. It's not true. Either way, the poem, even if it's based on a real story or not, it does express, everyday experiences that we go through, you know, in life. And I thought the poem was just very powerful. I would say extremely powerful. And I was waiting there for Lou to rap there because there's a rap rhyme, so... You owe me the rap.
Thank you, Frank.
Aye.
There you go.
And Bridget, how about you?
I like that poem a lot too. It is haunting, like Greg said. It does bring a very real situation in a poetic way that other people can start to empathize with what other people are going through because of how strong the poem is. People who think that, oh, it's not real pain if it's not a broken leg, if they can hear and understand something like this, then I think it does bring more understanding to situations.
Excellent. Thank you there, Kate. Bridget. Jean, how about you?
I thought it was a nicely penned piece. I saw that she says this is not true, but it definitely pulls at all those strings of it could be true, you know. I think that she definitely was spot on with her expression of the topic. But I thought her rhymes were out. She said that she was just learning to do more rap rhymes. But excellent rhyme throughout. I said both internal and end rhymes, were well done. So, I hope that is what she was looking for, because I'd like to at least answer her question. I don't know much about rap rhymes, so that's my opinion. I'm no judge. But nice job, and thank you for that.
Thank you, Jean. And Lou, you got to read it.
Yeah, you know, even though this is fiction, this is something that we see on a daily basis or hear on the TV, the radio, our family, our friends, you know, where, you know, this is a coupling that is not good because there's trauma here. And, you know, what I read in this and, you know, for me it was, do you realize that what you say to me really affects me? You can either rise me to the stars and skies, or you can literally make me feel as if I want to die. And then, you know, especially right here where it says you want me to exercise and energize. So obviously whatever he's telling her is making her feel worthless, because it does matter how you speak to people. And, you know, telling her, you know, you need to energize yourself, do more, get this, you know, because she said she's small, and maybe he's talking about that she's starting to gain weight. And of course she is. Because during the relationship, while you're making me feel this way, you got me pregnant. So, you know, this is just so many relationships that are, you know, that people are in together now. And I find it deeply, deeply sad.
Well said, Lena.
Verbal abuse, Verbal abuse
agree,
is bad.
Because she dropped this in as two opposing thoughts. the ones from the female angle, and then also expressing the male mm-hmm. side of things in the opposing stanzas. So it works out nicely that that little back and forth of thought offers up what's going on underneath the layered angles. Mm-hmm. And as you said, that last stanza hits on that thought. As I start to vocalize, you make sure I'm tranquilized. And there, that kind of hits the moment of birth. Awake to see we now share ties, a baby, you and me, miniaturized. And it does hit on that note of, there might have been a little bit more thought might have gone into this relationship, considering what they ended up doing or producing.
Yeah.
Because it ain't gonna get no better.
True.
Thank you, everyone. And Jean, we're coming up back to you.
Okay, dokie. Well, Gray, that brings me to you. If you don't mind, I have a piece by Simon Guest called Hidden Philadelphia. Gray, are you on mute?
Yeah, it was about 25% of the way through the poem.
I'll have to rewind now there. Rewind.
The apocalypse beats down. Men and women move in slow motion, hunched down and bent over. An invisible force blasts from every direction. Which way will they fall? Timber. No one helps. Mind and body are broken. They are now as one with each other. Short mumblings, moan and cry. In between calling out blame upon the nameless. Reanimation is but a charity. This will not be the first or last time. Survival is a fight already lost. End poem.
Great read there, Gray. Boy, that was a hard one. And Frank, why don't we start with you, please?
What was I was looking for this really struck up in this.
Frank, you still there?
Yes.
Oh, you were roboting.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Perhaps maybe it's the phone.
Okay. Well, Louie, how about you?
Yeah, I was looking at his author's notes, and you know, he's talking here about the Black Mamba, and his comments. You know, the drugs, how it just destroys people's lives. You know, and it also reminded me of sci-fi movies where the governments and everybody just drugs people so that they become compliant. And, you know, I just thought this was, you know, a situation that, you know, we have in every country and every world. And you know, and he brings out in the end that this will not be the first or the last time. Survival is a fight already lost. That hopeless, you know, the hopelessness and the sadness of that drug constantly calling to you and the fight that you take, and sometimes even though you want to fight it off, you still go back to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I get you, Lou. Thank you very much. And Kate, how about you?
I agree. Yes, I agree with that. It's so unfortunate that life can get so bad sometimes that putting a sort of a damper on it is all people can do to try and get through the day. It must be awful because you're living inside yourself then, because because you're drugged, you're not reaching out or touching or connecting. You're inside, and you're inside just waiting for the next blast to help you carry on. So it's a ever-decreasing circle kind of thing. You just keep getting it. The more you have, the more you need, and it's just mind and body are broken. Yeah, I can understand that. So I know. I mean, I can understand getting to that point in life, but wow, it's a hard life out there, poor people. But yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Simon, for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought that this was a well-penned piece by Simon. You know, I said it was a sad reflection of an all-too-common truth. And that, you know, I thought it was well done. Because I read this afternoon. And I just was drawn to it because I was like, why is he talking about something about an hour away from me? Philadelphia's only about an hour away from my house. But just, you know, he's in England. But you know, I mean, really, the problem is epidemic everywhere. You know, it's not any one place. And it's sad because so many, there's just so many tragedies because of it. So hopefully someday people get it straight. Uh-oh. Thank you very much.
And Gray, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it speaks well to the tragedy that is the blight of drugs in modern society. You know, I mean, we have blocks and blocks of homeless living in tents on the sidewalk downtown, and it's just tragic to see all these wasted lives, you know. Yeah, it's very troubling for sure, and a very sad state.
Yes, it is. And Bridget, how about you? Bridget, you there?
Sorry, again. But the idea of it being the modern-day apocalypse, spirits are broken and not our bodies. You know, it's not zombies. It's a broken spirit. And it brought me back to the days when I was working as a line cook in Charleston. And the line cooks do drugs all the time because that's their escape. The job is so difficult. And you don't make enough money to actually have rent or have a house, and I feel like it is a really modern day and pertinent poem.
Excellent. Thank you, Bridget. Great comments, everybody. And Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay. Well, Frank, I'm coming to you with this one. And if you wouldn't mind reading this, this is by Harco.
Yeah, do you want me to read? I'm just wondering if I don't want to break the connection. I mean, I can try. Yeah, I'll go ahead and read it, and you tell me. Yeah, you tell me if I break up afterwards. Here's a poem by Harco Palco, and it goes. It's called In Memoriam of the Holy, and it goes like this: Heaven resides in autumn's palm, exploiting marriages between golden haze and sunrise. Mother's prayer silently evades in memory. In the poem.
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much. And Lou, we're going to start with you, please.
That was a fantastic read, Frank. And I always have liked Adam's poems. You know, this is awesome. You know, it's beautiful as well as sad. You know, where I don't know exactly. And in the memorandum of the holy, I guess it's between, you know, broken marriages, you know, the golden ring is supposed to be a continuous circle of love, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And it's just sad. I don't know exactly how to answer to this, but it, to me, it's just full of sadness.
Thank you, Lou. And Gray, how about you?
I really liked it. You know, it had a great flow, and the meaning is deep for such a brevity of a poem. You know, it starts off with heaven resides in autumn's palms and ends with mother's prayer silently bathed in memory. And, you know, that's a very haunting way to end the poem, for sure. Beautiful, right, though.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. And Kate.
Yes, as usual, Adam writes a beautiful brevity. I thought this, it just flows. It's a bit deep sometimes for me, I find. But that's just me being a bit thick, so nothing against poetry at all. It's just me being stupid. but I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, really an awful lot to do with poetry. If you enjoy the words and it evokes some kind of feeling, then this is a job well done. And I thought it was a job well done. But those last few lines, mother's prayer silently evades in memory. Just really lovely. So, yeah, I think you did a beautiful job as usual. Thank you for sharing, Adam.
Thank you, Kate. And Bridget, how about you?
It just, it made me think about Mother Mary and how sometimes we forget about the feminine aspect of God and looking up to that. And forgetting mother's prayers is like forgetting to pray to our mother.
Oh, I like that. Thank you very much. And Frank, you got to read it. How about you?
And say that did a great job, great job. I think it's reverential, definitely deeply reverential. And the pomp. So I can just imagine what the pomp is. He says in such few words, the imagery is striking in his poem here. And I like the notion there of what he says there in the heaven resides in Otto's poem. It almost seems that it's that it had in earth, it's inside what we call the earth. So this is what I took from the poem.
Thank you, Frank. And we're coming back to you, Jean.
Okay, okay. Well, just so everybody knows, the image that I put into the room is the image that that poem was written to. I think when you see that image, I think that it kind of ties it all together beautifully. It's a wonderful poem without, but I think that this just helps.
Oh, there you go.
So it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a lovely picture.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it pretty? It's a picture.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent. All right. So where would you like to go next?
Oh, well, where would you like me to begin with that story? I want to put up this piece by Weaver. You know, we all know her. She's a festival that one. Yeah. And I know I have an audio for that. Make sure I hit the right one. This is called Dark Danger. And that's that button. My feet were disturbed by... This is it.
Wow.
A man holding him. I'm going to start that over because I don't know quite what happened.
I don't know if that's the right one, actually.
My sleep was disturbed when I heard a noise at my bedroom window. I pulled back the curtain and saw the impossible, a man hovering in midair. Before I could turn and run.
Okay. Well, I have a backup plan then, Chad, because I have another one by
you.
For a dream.
Okay.
So, if it doesn't work the first time, try it a second time.
Amen. Do you want to read that one, Kate? I mean, or do you want me just to go on to the second one?
I'll read it. It's probably a lot easier. Okay. No, I don't promise I can't. I can do this without stumbling. That's why I record everything. Right. Can you see what I have come to? Now I am one of the undead. Watch the essence of my being drip slow crimson drops of dread. Keep the silver chains around me. Do not let me feel your breath. Back away and do not touch me, for within me I bring death. Do not look too long upon me. Keep your eyes away from mine. I am drawn to your heartbeat. Body heats divine. We are pulled towards each other, you by pity, me by pain. But if you try to join me, there will be more loss than gain. There is darkness all around me, where you are filled with light. I must leave you to the day. I am lost within the night. End poem.
Oh, great read, Kate. Thank you very much.
Hey.
Lou, are you biting at the bit to comment on this one?
Yes. I love this poem. You did such a beautiful job in writing this and reading this, Weaver. you know, there are those that, you know, that we should not get close to because they know that they're destructive. And especially where you said to keep the silver chains around me. But what I liked was here, that temptation, that feed, that need to that I will destroy you. You know, you will become me also. Do not look too long upon me. Keep your eyes away from mine. I am drawn to your heartbeat and your body's heat divine. There is also that deep, dark sensuality in there that I love the vampires. And I thought that you caught that beautifully. I caught the darkness and the sultriness of that calling that changed you if you don't move away from me, but some are tempted to that fire-licking flame. So I really enjoyed this, Weaver.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lou. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a beautiful write and read. It's fascinating, you know, the battle between good and bad, light and dark, you know, that exists in this person. And, you know, which one do you feed? You know, that's the wolf that you become. And he doesn't want to become the dark wolf. So, you know, he fights to keep whatever light he has shining around him alive. So just a beautiful poem, Weaver.
Thank you.
And Bridget, how about you?
I liked it too. It was very clear, and the divide between good and evil, and how one can jump from one side to the other by association. And he was. It seemed like in the poem, the darkness was very sure that they would turn the light, but you never know which way it's gonna go when the two get together. It's kind of the eternal battle. So I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you, Bridget. Jean, how about you?
You know, we read that this was beautifully dark and a wonderful piece. Great imagery throughout, an excellent rhyme. And I loved the last two stanzas. We are pulled towards each other, you by pity, me by pain. But if you try to join me, there will be more loss than gain. Darkness all around me, where you are filled with light. I must leave you to the day. I am lost within the night. I thought that was fabulous. Just fabulous. The whole piece was great. So, wonderful job. And I think you did a pretty good job reading it, too.
Thank you. I was quite impressed with myself.
Frank, how about you?
The thing really, really quickly, I got a vibe of a Victorian feel with this poem here, and I'm going to end it up by agreeing with what Gray said about good and evil. I truly believe we all have that within us. It's an eternal struggle we deal with daily, I would say. It's a great, great, great poem.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, I can take this two ways. The little literal angle of this with the vampire reminds me of Louis from Lestat's buddy from Interview with the Vampire and the subsequent books in the series, because this speaks to him as who he is, the warning. But it also takes this as a metaphor for someone who knows themselves so well that they're actually giving a warning of, hey, there is lust between us, because that fourth stanza, we are pulled towards each other, you by pity, me by pain. But if you try to join me, there will be more loss than gain. That thought of you by pity and me by pain is the note of what the attraction is between the two of them. And the offering of her being the light and him being the dark is the representation of he knows who and what he is, yet she doesn't realize that. He's giving her forewarning because there's only one thing to come out of it, and it's going to be her pain in the long run, and he doesn't want to inflict that. So I like it as a pure metaphor on that level. But also, on the reality, as a vampire itself, it works as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus poems to get done. So I'm going to start by backing out of comments for right now. But I have this one by Robert, and I'm going to play the audio that goes with that, if I can find it. There we go. Yay.
This is my recital of the war never won. What is wrong with the world today? Everyone seems to have a plastic vision of golden futures. Credit cards spun audacity to the point of insanity, rolling habits into mockeries of individuality. Zealous pandering and pampering consolidate the limp persuasions of the Novocaine lollipop that seems to be force-fed by those that you allow to enslave you. Wooden pulses emanate from the trees, loosing the last of their death throes. Meanwhile, each penny polished strengthens the facade of a tarnished smile and a slap-happy sadness. Condescension reigns as the new black. The worse your personality, the more people respect you. Misdirected precision of deepened apprehension harpooned apologies with uptight eyes. Schedule behavior and adjust your outrage to coincide with tax season. Seems that Lady Justice is just a ravaged handmaiden and yet another victim in the war between greed and humanity.
Great read, Robert, and thank you very much. And it's quite the phrase lift that he had to use to make this piece. You look at it. Slap happy sadness, spun audacity, scheduled behavior, tarnished smile, uptight eyes, wooden pulses, zealous pandering, ravaged handmaiden, rolling habits, plastic vision, penny polished, novocaine lollipop, misdirected precision, limp persuasions, and harpooned apologies. That's quite the note of stuff to think upon and then put in a worthy piece. Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
But I thought it was a fantastic rendition of his poem. And he used a word bank in this, which is just fantastic that he did that. I mean, I would never have spotted a word list in this. And it's just a definitely a token piece on the subject of life in modern times, for sure. It seems that Lady Justice is a ravaged handmaiden and yet another victim in the war between greed and humanity. Powerful poem. Excellent read.
Excellent, Gray. Thank you very much. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, that is very cleverly done. And looking at that list and its phrases, too, it's not just the usual one word in the bank. These are phrases that have to be weaved in here. And I think it was done beautifully. It was done seamlessly. You wouldn't think for 1 second that it wasn't his own words completely. I thought it was so good. I'm very fond of trees. I am a tree hugger. I don't admit that to many people, but that's what I am. I love them. I think they're wonderful. You should hug a tree. You really feel so good, unless people see you doing it, of course, which is a little bit different. Big friends. You make friends very quickly when you hug trees, let me tell you. Ah, dear. Yes, so I was on to the wooden pulses emanate from the trees, losing the last of their death throes. Oh, dear. Meanwhile, each penny polished strengthens the facade of a tarnished smile and slap happy sadness. A beautiful, beautiful stanza. I do think his writing is wonderful, so I enjoy what he writes. But that picture, that captures a lot, doesn't it? Whoa. That's been a rough day. Really does, and I love the title, "The War Never Won." Yeah, so thank you, Robert, for sharing. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Kate and Lou. How about you?
You know, this is such a fantastic poem. Robert is so talented. I really loved his imagery here. You know, Lady Justice. You know, the thing is, it's not Lady Justice. I mean, of course, in this picture, she's vomiting because humans, even though they say justice, that is not what happens in our world today. And everybody talks about it. There's laws for everybody except the elite. And I thought that he caught that so well, where, you know, he says, condescension station reigns as the new black. And it is true, to look down on the working class, the middle class, the lower class, you know, the worse your personality, and oh my God, aren't we not seeing that today in the politics, the more people respect you. And that never has made any freaking sense to me. Why do you support somebody that's a shit?
Did you say shit?
No. Yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I thought I was wrong.
and it just pisses me off. And it seems like, you know, the things that we're supposed to stand for, when we actually, I think especially in the last 2 years, we see the unraveling and the drapes falling from what actually is justice and what actually is corrupt. Whew, this is a good poem. He wrote this 5 years ago. He got a gold on it. But I think it matches so much more now what we've been going through lately.
Absolutely. Nicely said, Lou. Thank you. And Bridget, how about you?
He had really great foresight. He wrote that 5 years ago. Because now it is more out in the open, especially with what's happening around the world. It's not just here. It's everywhere. I think it's gonna change, especially if we are still talking on platforms like this and have work so powerful that express it.
Excellent. You're right there, Bridget. There is a change coming that a lot of people don't realize. But anyway, Frank, how about you?
Yes, I'll be brief. I know we're running time. I just thought the poem was remarkable. He's a masterful pinner of expression here. So it was just a great, great poem, and it was great to hear him. I enjoyed listening to him.
Great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, we're coming back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, here's one of five. Here we go. This is Arcana Amour, and I have an audio for this one. I have to see which one that is. Weeping World. Okay. Here we go.
Arisen in a cascading tear. Each drop of liquid sorrow that falls spills from eyes amidst dismal drips that cascade from waterfalls of woe. Such beauty swims these saddened depths to trickle dejected, despondent dreams. A remorseful reminder of drifting doubts that echo from tortured, bleeding memories. For within each rippling, doleful drop dwell fragments of happiness that melted away to disperse and dissipate on distant shores, lost in evanescent, ebbing emotions, where rolling regrets ripple dwindling desire that slowly sinks beneath fading fantasies to dwell in darkened domains of depression, believing all hope has wandered astray. Like a ruby red rose, a sweetly smelling scent that blossoms with passion from a hopeful heart, inviting to be held for closer inspection, to prick with thorns then bathe in pain. When all that's left is heartbreak and heartache, from departed wishes dissolved in doubt, that strain to release the taint of torment, to wearily wade midst weeping worlds.
Great read, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And this was written for a contest, Beauty in Melancholy, and a quote, I can barely conceive a type of beauty in which there is no melancholy, Charles Baudelaire. So, Kate, why don't you kick us off, please?
Oh, as usual, beautifully written and wonderfully read. There's so much emotion. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was so many beautiful stanzas here. I think my favorite's got to be Where Rolling Regrets Ripple Dwindling Desire That Slowly Sinks Beneath Fading Fantasies. I mean, that, you know, that's the truth. Fantasies do fade pretty quickly sometimes. So you really have to think about the life you've got and enjoy it without having to invite something else into it. But I thought it was wonderful, really well written. So thank you for sharing. I'm being brief because I know we've got a lot to get through.
Gray, how about you?
I loved his read of it, and as well as the music in the background. But, I mean, I thought it was a haunting read and write on the rolling regrets of that rule our every moment. It was a powerful crafting.
Thank you, Gray. Luyu?
You know, this is beautiful. His poetry is deeply sad. And it just, you know, I could just see the heart beating and pumping tears through the eyes of pain. You know, hopes being destroyed, wanting to love somebody that just stabs you with pain. Like this, I mean, like a ruby red rose of sweetly smelling scent that blossoms passion from a hopeful heart, inviting to be held for closer inspection, to prick with thorns and bathe in pain, you know, for somebody to make you feel like that. Yes, it can literally break the inner soul. And I thought he wrote this masterfully.
I agree with you there, Lee. Thank you very much. And Bridget, how about you?
I really enjoyed this poem as well. It brought me to another place. I was thinking he started at the top of the waterfall, like a water drop would start the water cycle. And moving through the ocean, you're in the ocean for such a long time as a little water drop. And then you become a rose and you have this like fleeting moment of joy and the melancholy, that sweetness, before it melts away again. And I just, It was beautiful.
Thank you, everyone. Arcana, I think you bit hard into that quote and had a lot of fun with this. Thank you very much. All right, Eugene, we're back to you.
See, I knew you'd get there sooner or later. Okay, the next thing I'm going to put up is Selena. So let me hit that button, and here we go.
Wending their way up my spine, hooking under straps, sliding them down, till dancing curves spring forth, begging for your tongue, rising readily as your lips, like butterfly wings, tease, your whispers hoarse with hunger,
priming me for your intent, turning me around, hands travel down, smoothly slipping between skin and black lace. Damp with desire, I await that receptive ripple that makes my whole being tremble impatiently. My fevered flesh rages like a furnace, smouldering embers in the wake of your touch. As you peel away your clothes, reclining rakishly, brazenly bearing, stroking your escalating passion seductively. Your deep, knowing look entices me in. The feel of your skin gliding over mine, like warm tropical waves which ebb and flow. I was fashioned to be an instrument of your pleasure, as you play my passion to dance to your tune.
Great read, Selena. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It was very much appreciated, and you were smoking. All right, Lou, you're up first.
Okay. Well, I have got to say that I actually forgot to breathe when she got to the song. Oh, my God. Okay. It was luscious, delicious, mouth-watering hot. The imagery just took you there. You could just literally see and feel these images in your mind, especially right here where she said, my fevered flesh raises like a furnace, smoldering embers in the wake of your touch. As you peel away your clothes, reclining wreckishly, brazenly bearing, stroking your escalating passion seductively. I went, oh, my God, I need to, oh. Okay, my brain stopped there. Because I could see this in my mind, and I just felt so naughty and delicious.
Well said, well said, Lou. But I think now you better wipe your mouth. You're
I'll lick it with my. I'll lick it. Lick, lick, lick.
And Kate, how about you?
Whoa. Oh, yes. This is absolutely, wow. I, like you, I'm going, where are we going? How far are we going? I'm coming along for the ride. You'll pardon the expression. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I have enjoyed Selena's reads before, but this one, she seemed to have gone down to a level that is just so sultry and seductive. And there's not hesitation. There's no dropping of it. It just carries on and on and on so well, and I just thought it was a beautiful write and an absolutely wonderful read. So I'm awful glad I can read it again and listen to it again, because it was just delicious. Thank you, Selena. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And Bridget, how about you?
I liked it. It was spicy. It was very spicy. She does a great job of being in the moment and bringing us to that moment. And just focusing on touch and the senses, and you can really dive into it.
Thank you. And Gray?
Yeah, you know, she did a beautiful job reading that, and that was very sensual, powerfully engaging. You were there in the moment with her, and yeah, it was like she was whispering in your ear. Fantastic read. Excellent, right?
Wonderful, gang. And Stelina, in the shadows of the desire, we find that fire burning down the house. Nicely done. And Jean, we're back at KU.
Well, I come. Everybody needs to breathe in. Let some air to the brain. Okay.
That's why you have a fan.
Oh, Brent, that's what you left it.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That's all right. I love the conversation. No problem there. I love eavesdropping there.
That is funny because I thought he was gone.
Okay. I was smoking
well,
there.
I'm older.
Yes.
You see, I can see this crowd on a Wednesday night. Oh, God, help us all. Anyway. I'm going to put
up the one more. On there.
It's by Miss Lucy Wild Dove, so I don't know what to expect from this one. But, you know, everybody hold on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. This was an honor to write for Stelina, and this is the first time I've written with this poet, and she's fantastic. And Gray Eyes, since this is a collaboration and I did get permission, he will be reading her words and I will be reading mine. And this is titled Love by Lu Yu Wild Dove, An Emotional Epiphany.
I am in love with you. I am in love with you, now and forever, till doomsday. You are my final encores, the soulful song of my living, the supreme touch, the lonely splendor, the untiring delight, and insistence of magic, a golden touch of light, a tranquil pensiveness and benign happiness of my innermost beings. A gentle, caring embrace, a blissful present, felt in each second, each minute.
Desert devil twisters whisper, surrounding twirls as love's fingers caress, circulating amorous reminders, moving, enveloping my wanting frame. Navajo dust storms whirl columns of smoky, stinging kisses, sizzling between scented rain bushes, falling in particles of dust, gemstone opal, garnet, powder, spinning my arms around my torso in tearful water spouts, searching evaporated riverbeds for our turquoise tears, tumbled and spinning love's moments.
You are my passionate longings, yearnings of my soul, of my withered heart, the most precious, sweetest feeling, healing touch of my wounds. I find the paradox, more hurt leads to more love with you by my side. I jolly well walk on loveless corridors, so also on the morose pathway of my solitary journey. Love, I adore you at the same time, proud of my heart, as you are one of the most magnanimous emotions of mine. A fabulous gift has been graced from divine.
Rotating fingers of semi-precious jewels on necklace of curved tan leather strands surround my coppered moist neck against heaving breast of your pressed inviting kisses as images twist, meander, descending sung yearning, leading with the sun's hidden stars, stinging streams billow taupe, creamy pathways and sultry love, lone terrain sucked in by our secluded whirlwinds, separated by mountainous region. Ayol Anashani, blooming dark rose, magnetic trumpet shaped sweet fragrant flowers release my suffering, cutting smooth curves, sacred willow branches, hands form dream catchers, defining unconditional love in poem. And the Ayol Anashani means I love you in Navajo.
Great read, Lou. Thank you very much. And Frank, since you've been
Thank you.
Quiet, would you read would you a comment, please?
Well, I think I got lost there in the creamy pathways there. But this was a beautiful, beautiful collab. First of all, it was a beautiful read by both of you. I thought it was just fantastic from you. You know, the sensuality expressed in this poem was noticeable, it was palpable. This is what I enjoyed about the collab there. I almost felt that embraced every inner emotion and embraced the inner soul as well. There is such a connection that's so deep rooted in this poem that's obvious here, but it was a fantastic collab, and I'm just impressed by the poem.
Thank you, Corazon.
Thanks, Greg. And Kate, how about you?
Beautiful. It was beautiful. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, carry on. I'm just about to sleep, so you must excuse me. Yes, I thought it was that. I didn't mean that to be insulting. I do apologize. It's just that I take a lot of tablets and I get very tired sometimes, so excuse me. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I thought the collaboration worked so well. It was actually lulling me because it was so soft and gentle and, you know, beautifully put. And some of these fabulous lines, stinging kisses sizzling between scented rain bushes falling in particles of dust, gemstones, opal, garnets, jade powder, spinning my arms around your torso in tearful water spouts. Yes, a way with words, and I think this is a wonderful way with words. And both were beautifully written. So thank you very much for sharing. And again, my apologies for the delay in answering.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie.
Okay, my dad, anytime.
Gray, how about you? Gray.
He's muted.
Sorry.
Gray eyes.
Sorry, my dog was starting to bark. Sorry. But I thought it was a beautiful, surreal sort of love that is ethereal and deep. You know, you can feel the connection in this poem, especially with that Ayu Anishini, blooming dark rose, magenta trumpet shaped, sweet fragrant flowers, release my suffering, cutting smooth, curved, sacred willow branches, hands form dream catchers, divining unconditional love. I mean, the love is palpable in this poem.
Thank you, Gray. Excellent. Thank you, sweetie.
And Bridget, how about you?
Yeah, the love in this poem is beautiful, and how she compares the love that they feel to the gemstones with the imagery, just how they're beautifully formed and how they last and how the structure within them connects in a delicate way.
Excellent.
Thank you, Bridget.
And Lou, that was fantastic. There's the connective value in that was like finding your totem animal, but on the one hand, it's that one person who meets that same value that is yours for the rest of your life, like the wolf finding their mate and becoming one and together for the rest of their lives. So you hit that, and your partner hit that note very well.
Thank you, Sexy Rexy.
You're welcome. All right, Jean, since it's coming up on the back end, we're leaving the last comment for you, plus the closing notes.
Lou, I think that was a great collaboration between you and EE. I don't know EE personally. And I also want to say everyone who is available, please give a call in to hang out with Faziana and Babbler. It was a pleasure having all of you join us tonight. Rex, as always, thanks for being a great co-host. Wonderful poetry tonight. And I have 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4, 5 carryovers for next Friday. Weaver of Dreams has one. Arcana Moore has two. Jack Tomkovic has another one. Budo, that's a carryover from Gray's Wednesday show, and I apologize, Gray. Also C.L. Howard and Peter Chapman. And I think I have Dan Bishino too, so I have to go back and check that out. But I want to thank everyone. What a wonderful night of poetry and a lot of fun. You guys are great to hang out with. And yeah, we'll see you soon. Wednesday. I think we'll have a date one of these Wednesdays when we'll all get together.
She's hinting. She wants all us hotties to be there on Wednesday.
I might be traveling by then.
in one note, Bridget, thank you for coming on board and spending some time with us. I hope you come over to All Poetry and dig into our group and join us there so you can come aboard again and actually read along with us.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't realize I'd be on the board, but it was a lot of fun. And I made an account, and I'll be active.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Fantastic to have you. Looking forward to having you. Fantastic show, Phil and Rexy.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Thank you, everybody, very much. Always appreciate it. Wonderful.
Love you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, and thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Time to go to bed.
Uh-oh. Kate's ready for bed.
Yes, she is.
Kate's never actually in bed, but she's always ready for it.
Ooh, cliche.
Oh my God.
I love you all.
Got that note.
Good night.
Got that note. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Oh, very good.